This is The Anything Show with Jean-Francois, featuring Andrew Vanderton.
Hello, Jean-Francois here. Andrew Vanderton joining me not too far away. I'm in Albany, New York. Andrew is like, 3 hours away in Rochester. And I'm going to see him next weekend for the first time in our few years history of doing podcasting. I'm so excited, Andrew.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to get drunk. We're going to probably see a drag show. My dog is going to not kill you, I hope. It's going to be great.
Look, you're not going to eat my face. You're going to be covered in glitter by the time you go home.
Yes! Oh, my God. So, glitter-covered face and Andrew having his face all chewed out from my dog. That sounds like a romantic weekend. I could not ask for more.
It sounds like a hamburger meat Tuesday. I'm here for it.
Exactly. All righty, Andrew, I may have one of the most iconic black actresses out there, at least in my mind. I'll give you a hint. It was one of the black actresses that I was supposed to interview on one Friday, but now she's rescheduled. So that could be happening. And if that is happening for sure this Friday, the 17th, as we record this on Wednesday, the 15th, then that will be one of our special guests for this show later on. Does that make sense?
That makes tons of sense. I am super excited.
I won't jinx it by saying what she's in. Just know that she's a very iconic black actress in my mind, and I hope in your mind as well, Andrew.
She is. I think I know who, and I'm crossing my fingers. I am ready.
Sweaty with anticipation and excitement. Do not get the sweat all over the actress, Andrew. Let's be classy now.
I will be classy and I will keep you dry.
Now I want to be sweaty. Dry doesn't sound that appealing. Oh my God. Ew. All right, but for now, let's get into some small talk. Andrew, online abbreviations. Oh, these young people with their online abbreviations. I was reading this article on Fox News, and I want to test you on what online abbreviations you know. So did you already know what BRB meant?
Yes, I knew what BRB meant.
Yeah, be right back. TTYL, do you know what that means?
I knew what that one was. Talk to you later.
Yeah. S-R-S-L-Y. Before looking at this Google document, did you know what that was?
I had no idea what that was until today.
Apparently, that is short for seriously. S-R-S-L-Y, which sounds like almost a slur, like you're coming out of the dentist like, seriously? I had a book and cheese sandwich? Seriously? Like it has that very root canal drawl to it, if you know what I mean?
Yes! It every day.
Oh yeah, because you work at the dentist. I forgot, Andrew.
That I didn't even put that together, John. That is perfect.
Seriously, Andrew, can I just drool on you or lick your thumb randomly? Seriously? Yeah, because one patient did that to you, right? They actually like licked your thumb without your consent.
It happens. There's the patient did it. They did it.
Oh my God. And you still show up to work every day getting your paycheck. I admire you.
You know, you have to. You got to put that outside of your head. There's some finger lickers out there, but they're not everybody.
Yeah. I don't even think it was a thumb lick. I think it was more of a thumb suck, wasn't it? It was just like, oh. No.
Then I would have been offended. I would have been like, whoa, I just had Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah. TLDR. That is another online abbreviation that I just found out now. Too long, didn't read. Did you even know that one?
So when I saw the doc, I didn't read the definition. So I was like, oh, it's got to be like toddler. And I had no idea what that was.
Yeah. TLDR. Too long, didn't read. I mean, ironically, just reading that, I would rather have you say too long, didn't read. Because it's just like, how am I supposed to get too long, didn't read out of that? TLDR, that's more. I mean, I look at that and I'm just like, oh, to love dick writer? I don't know. I mean, is that what you would get? Or is that just my dirty mind, Andrew?
You know what? Now that you say it, that sounds like a really good abbreviation to use on Grindr. So I might start using that.
There you go. And speaking of Grindr abbreviations that could be good, BAE, B-A-Y. Or no, I'm sorry, B-A-E. So that online abbreviation, BAE, B-A-E. Like a lot of people are like, oh, look at my BAE. Like, I love my BAE. My BAE's so sexy like that. But no, BAE, B-A-E actually stands for before anyone else in the online abbreviation world.
Bae just got a whole lot more sexy to me. I would refuse to call somebody bae because I'm like, just say babe. There's another B there.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, bae, before anyone else. It's like, so you're my before anyone else? That I like.
There you go. There you go. You're my appetizer before I get to the main course. Right?
The snack. You're the whole meal.
Mm-hmm. SOML, story of my life. SOML, as I like to call it. Have you ever heard of SOML?
I didn't. I was like, oh, that's Somalia. Nope.
Yeah. A country that I would love to go to right now just to say, hey, SOML. My SOML was I went to Somalia for a day. That's the story of my life.
That sounds very dentisty again, and I love it.
Yeah. Thumbsucker. You know, if the thumbsucker can come to the show right now, like, Andrew, if it's not too awkward for us to interview that thumbsucker that you met at the dentist, that would be great. I would love that.
It would be an interesting conversation, but I would be like, okay, this was great, but let's not.
And finally, an online abbreviation that the young people are using, ICYMI. Which it has a very I see you, I see me kind of vibe to it, but ICYMI actually stands for in case you missed it. Another one that I was today years old when I learned, Andrew.
Same as me. I did not know that, so what that meant. I follow all these pages and I see people posting like ICYMI. I thought it was a fashion brand. I did not know that this was an abbreviation.
So if it's not a fashion brand, I want you to trademark it as a fashion brand right now. ICYMI by Andrew Vandertunt. Coming this fall.
We'll make fashion forks.
Yeah, I like that. Now, what makes forks so fashionable?
You know, everybody needs a fork, and you're going to go to your kitchen and get a fork one day, and just think, it'll have my brand on it.
Can you imagine, like, a fork with a negligee? Like, a fork with, like, a sexy piece of lingerie? And, like, I would pick that fork over any other regular, boring, naked fork. Come on now. Give me a negligee fork.
Give me a negligee fork or even a fork with, like, a jock strap on it.
Oh! I love that. 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 Make sure the jock strap actually fits with the spork because you know that jock strap might be hanging loose if that spork is too skinny.
Very true.
Yep. Oh, now, Andrew, as we are in our 30s and we're getting older by the minute, we can relate to this. So I think last week we were talking about how old we feel. This week I was reading this article on CNBC about like how long the perfect nap is. And these mother effers, they said that the perfect nap has to be no more than 20 to 30 minutes because any time longer than that, you could wake up feeling groggy. It would be awful. But I, Andrew, actually think that it all depends on if you set an alarm or not. Because I took a 2-hour nap last weekend and I did not have an alarm because I didn't have anywhere to go. And I think because of the fact that I was able to naturally wake up when I was ready, like that made it a perfect nap. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know. What's your opinion on the perfect nap?
My perfect nap, 30 minutes is a little bit much if it's a work day. 25 minutes is perfect. Like I live so close to work, I can just drive home and take a nap, wake up and go back to work and feel refreshed. But when I'm not working, 2 hours, 3 hours, or even 4 is like the perfect nap in the daylight.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm guessing, is that a power nap that you take during your work day, the 25-minute thing?
Yeah, it's like a little power nap, which I always call like sleep teasing, but it's still just the same thing.
A little sleep tickle. You want a little sleep tickle, Andrew? A little sleep tickle to lead up to the sleep main course? I love that. Hey, Andrew, so you're going out to restaurants with friends, family, whoever. Like, what do you... maybe not family, because I don't know. With family, does, like, the patriarchy or the matriarchy, do they tend to pay for the thing? Or do, like, all of y'all family members split the bill evenly? Like, what's that situation like?
So if it's going out with family for dinner, it's typically my parents or whoever's parents are involved that pay. Because they're like, we're taking the kids out to dinner. That's what they always end up saying. If it's friends or if it's me out, mm-mm.
Okay. Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask. So more so for like friends or significant others, if you guys split the bill evenly, because there's this issue online about like, oh, should the bill be split evenly or not? And my thing has always been, if you're going out to dinner with friends and each person wants to pay for their own thing, right up front, to save the waiter a headache, let them know that each person is going to have their separate bill, because nothing makes a waiter more stressed out, I imagine, than when they have the giant bill thinking that it's all going to be under one tab, but then they find out at the last minute, oh, actually, can you split this $15,000 bill like 10 ways? Like, that's trouble that the waiter should not have to be going through. So I don't know. That's just my policy, Andrew.
I agree with you 100%. I don't like to split a bill. If I don't have to split a bill, I don't want to split it because it's just too much math for me. I already feel confused and anxious by it. So if I go out and just like, just let me just pay it and y'all just Venmo me or whatever if you want to pay it back, or if they have it already split when it comes over to the table, easier.
Yeah. I think when I went out with my fiance and friends not too long ago for breakfast, we did the Venmo thing. We did the Facebook Pay thing. That falls also in the line of like, hey, like, you know, everybody just make it an easy way possible, as easy as possible for everybody to just make sure their evenly spread out money gets all spread out evenly, if that makes any sense. Probably doesn't. All right. Andrew, have you ever shopped while drunk? Now, I look forward to seeing you drunk next weekend when I visit you in Rochester, because you said here on the Google document that it's a problem when you drink. So you have shopped while under the influence. Tell me about that.
Oh, so I have bought a piano, a bike, a Galileo thermometer, a crystal, incense burners, my Amazon Echo, a few different cell phones, shoes, and everything. Just being drunk buying things.
Okay.
Because I'm like,
Let me investigate this. What? So you're drunk, you're happy, and you're just like, F it, I'm happy. Let me go on the computer and buy some stuff. Is that kind of the logic that goes into it?
Yeah, I have to do it where it's like, because I am so frugal throughout my just regular everyday life. I'm just like, I'm not spending money. But then when I get drunk, it's like, well, I saved up all this money anyways. I might as well spend it on something I want. And then the next thing I know, 3 days later, a piano comes to my house.
So what of your drunk purchases do you actually still use while sober? And what have you never used while sober?
It's a loaded question.
Oh, my God.
Just maybe the piano.
Yeah, I would imagine that, like, I mean, taking piano lessons, that's a feat. I would imagine that. So you're talking about like a big classy piano, like a piano that you would see at like Alicia Keys' house, like that kind of piano.
Oh, no, John, that would take up my entire apartment. This is like just the keyboard that has the full 88 keys, but it's split into two pieces so you can combine them together and play.
Huh. All right. And this is still at your apartment as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like someone's going to be tickling the ivories when he comes over and visits you in Rochester. I look forward to this.
It's very fun. It's a fun little instrument to play.
But
you know what? My stuffed animals, technically I don't use them, but they are decoration, and I buy tons of stuffed animals when I'm drunk.
Yeah. So, ridiculous workplace rules. Let's get into this. When I was working a customer service job a little while ago, Andrew, there was this stupid rule where your bathroom breaks had to be limited to 5 minutes, had to just have no more than 5 minutes of bathroom break. Now, of course, when you eat and drink certain things, you'll be longer than 5 minutes in the bathroom. So I found that to be ridiculous. And a lot of people ended up breaking that 5 minute bathroom break rule, and they couldn't fire everybody. So there you go. What's your ridiculous workplace rule?
There was a call center I worked at. And we had to have a morning huddle every time before we did anything. And I was teaching classes there. I wasn't even on the phone. And everything in the morning huddle could have been sent in an email. And they always sing this song, "It's 5 o'clock somewhere," at 8 a.m. And I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world.
Can you sing the song for me?
I don't even know how it sounds. I know there's like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere and something country, country, country. And I'm like, I hate this thing. I hate it. I never want to hear that song ever again in my life.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. We like to hug everybody because we're cuddly bears. Time to work. Let's go twerk. Is that a good song?
I wish that was it. That would have been far more enjoyable. This one, I know they were talking about getting a beer somewhere, and I was like, no, this is not for me. This is not good.
Let's get a beer somewhere because we love to eat pears. Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Oh, let's play truth or dare and kiss each other. I don't know. I'm making up stuff as I go along, as you can tell. Oh, Andrew, go ahead.
Winning hit right there.
What was that?
You have a Grammy winning hit right there.
Yeah. And look at what I'm doing. I'm just wasting it on a podcast. What are we doing? Boy, you want to check out on TikTok? You want to see what's on TikTok?
Let's see. I want to see what these people are posting on the tickies.
All right, let's do the ticky-tackies. are you a St. Patrick's Day celebrator? So we're recording this on Wednesday the 15th. St. Patrick's Day coming up in a couple days. Friday the 17th. Do you go hard on St. Patrick's Day with the drinking and whatnot, or are you just like, meh, I'm not Irish. That's not pertaining to me.
John, I'm going to ask you before I answer. Have you ever gone hard on a St. Patrick's Day?
No, actually, I have not. The only memory I have of St. Patty's Day, that weekend, a few years ago, I was in Connecticut for my grandmother's funeral, and this was shortly after my ex broke up with me. So that's the only memory I have of St. Patty's Day from a few years ago. Other than that, no, I've never actually done the big drinking thing. I mean, I would say the closest other memory I have is me and a friend, we went out to eat the nasty food that they eat on St. Patty's Day. I love the Irish people, nothing against them, but the corned beef and the whatever, like all that stuff, I just was not vibing with it. It was nasty. So I would say that's a more positive St. Patty's Day memory. If you're talking about hard drinking, never have done that for St. Patty's Day. What about you, Andrew?
I have. The hardest I have ever gone into St. Patrick's Day, we started drinking at 8 a.m. and I woke up on a park bench at 4 p.m.
There you go. I would not expect anything less from you.
It was a rush, and I was, every holiday I'm covered in glitter, and I had specific glitter on that holiday, and it was perfect.
All right, so I want to take you on a plane, because it could be a different vibe when you're sober and you're on a plane. Usually you would expect peace and quiet, but this Irish band, you know, they had a flight from Dublin to New York, and they thought, hey, let's serenade people on a plane with our music for the next 7 hours. Listen to what the other people on the plane had to listen to for the next 7 hours. So beautiful music, but do you want to listen to it for 7 hours on a plane, Andrew?
I would have called the air marshal after the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's going to make you want to kill a hostage and kill him with corned beef silently and say O'Brien as they fall to their death. I don't know. If that's offensive to any Irish people listening, I apologize. My behavior is unspeakable right now. I love all O'Briens equally. You know what? Let's just go to the next video, Andrew. All right. A young girl. Oh, man, this is kind of why I want to have kids with my fiance. So this young girl telling her mom about a random poll that she conducted at school. She wanted to know if a bunch of kids knew who Napoleon was, if they think Napoleon is a Slytherin. So a young girl asking kids in her class if they think Napoleon is a Slytherin, in reference, of course, to Harry Potter. And this was a way to gauge if the kids actually knew who Napoleon was. So here is the conversation with the girl and her mom in the car afterwards when she has conducted her poll.
Talking to people, and I said, I bet Napoleon would be a Slytherin in Hogwarts because he has lots of ambition, the kids look at me and say, we don't know who Napoleon is. And so I go on asking, like, a couple other kids. They all say they didn't know. I asked 5 kids about this question, and only one of them knew.
Wow.
The education system has greatly failed them.
The education system has greatly failed them, says, I don't know, an 8-year-old. I love kids. Sometimes they could just be witty and have, like, really interesting, thought-provoking remarks that you would never expect, Andrew.
This kid is... Give this kid their own show. They need their own show. I can tell she'll be amazingly funny.
Yeah, absolutely. The Napoleon Do You Know Him or Not show featuring...
No, we have to answer her question. What house would he be in?
Oh, that would depend on what Napoleon actually did in real life. What did he do? I have no idea what Napoleon did.
Napoleon was a conqueror. I think he was French. And then... He died alone from stomach cancer in exile because he lost whatever war they were trying to win. So, and he was really short. He was very short.
So I thought he only existed because of ice cream. Isn't there like a Napoleon-flavored ice cream somewhere?
There is. There is Napoleon ice cream. I want to say it's Blue Bunny that makes it.
Wait, what?
Is it Blue Bunny? Is that the name of the ice cream company? I think they make Napoleon ice cream.
That sounds delicious. That sounds like a very marshmallowy thing that I want to put in my mouth right now.
Doesn't Napoleon sound like a little marshmallow? I feel like he would be in Hufflepuff with my voice and my stature, and he's like, I want to take over the world.
Yeah, yeah, with my Blue Bunny ice cream. And then shout, O'Brien, 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 as I die to the ground. All right. I'm bringing it all back together, Andrew Vanderton. I'm bringing it all back together.
Full circle.
Yeah. Happy St. Patty's Day. Belated, I think, by the time you hear this, because this will be like the Wednesday after St. Patty's Day that this episode will be released. I think that's it for TikTok. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's it for TikTok, because honestly, if we have any more TikTok on our feed, then we're going to just find some regrettable stuff, like, I don't know, someone dancing naked for grandma just so they could get a piece of pie somewhere. I don't know what TikTok's up to these days, Andrew.
TikTok is crazy. I caught a Pokemon battle on my TikTok today, so it's quite interesting.
You fought a Pokemon battle, or you taught a Pokemon battle?
I caught one on video. A hawk destroyed a pigeon in a parking lot in front of me, and I was like, whoa, nature.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm guessing I would have to be in the Pokemon world to understand, but that sounds... I mean, that in itself, actually, I would rather TikTok be used for creative stuff like that than to see, like, oh, can I hold my breath for 20 seconds without dying or some crap like that. I don't know.
I mean, you could. Trigger warning, if you go to my TikTok, it's a literal hawk attacking a pigeon, and it tackles it in this parking lot, tears it to pieces.
Well, that's very fitting that you say that, Andrew, because we're at the point where we want to reveal our socials. How can we find you on the socials, including TikTok?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at AJ Vandertunt. It's AJAY _Vandertunt.
I love it. And Anything Show. Let's see. Facebook.com/TheAnythingShow. At Anything Show Francois. Anything Show. FRANCOIS. On Instagram and TikTok. And YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. At The Anything Show with John Francois. So there you go. All right, Andrew. So I'm going to be speaking to, hopefully, one of my favorite black actresses out there. And without further ado, Andrew... To officially segue ourselves into that conversation, I'm going to do something that usually we have done privately. I'm going to say something really weird in a creepy voice. You ready?
I'm ready.
Spicy nuggets and Napoleon ice cream. Love it.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, Yvette. Can I just geek out for a moment?
Absolutely.
I love you. I mean, not only just, you know, from black person to black person, you're just one of my favorite actresses out there, but I've seen you in 100 million things. And can I talk to you about it? I
know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Wonderful. So I've enjoyed you on like Drake and Josh, Community,
Curb Your Enthusiasm, et cetera. And I was really interested at how your career started, because it started pretty unconventionally with your first television role in Girlfriends. Can you tell us how that happened?
Yeah, actually, I had just gotten dropped by an agent. I had no credits. I had gotten dropped by an agent, and I just sent a postcard to Robbie Reed, an amazing casting director who cast all of Spike Lee's films, and she's just amazing. And I just sent a message saying, "Hey, I don't know if you have anything that I'd be right for on Girlfriends, but if you do, please keep me in mind." And to my shock, she and this was back in the pager times, guys. This was 20 years ago. She had her office page me and brought me in, and I ended up booking two episodes on Girlfriends with no credits, no experience, nothing. So that's how my career started. Robbie Reed taking a chance on me, which I still can't believe.
Yeah. And Girlfriends, I enjoyed you there in that arc that you had there as well. And probably the first role that I seriously saw you in was as movie theater manager Helen. And Yeah. I was like, I think I was like middle school bordering on high school back in the day when you were on that show. And that was supposed to be like a one-time role. Can you talk about how that evolved into what people now know you as? I mean, a lot of people probably approach you as Helen, you know, saying,
yeah, I probably get recognized as Helen more than just about anybody else. It'll be Helen or Shirley from Community. And hopefully one day it'll be Angela from Act Your Age. But yeah, I was supposed to do one episode and was actually on another sitcom at the time. So I did the guest star, then went back to finish my sitcom. Then that sitcom got canceled. And they said, "Do you want to come back and do more Drake and Josh?" I said, "Absolutely." And fun fact, that's why there's one episode of Drake and Josh where I don't play Helen, because I was off doing the other show at the time they wanted to bring her back. So yeah, that's my Drake and Josh story. I ended up doing 4 years on that show off of one guest star. Crazy.
Yeah, it was so funny. And I also enjoyed your work as Shirley in Community. And I mean, that passionate fan base, I remember it was very much six seasons and a movie all the time. Can you just briefly talk about the passionate fan base that you dealt with as a result of your experience on that show?
Well, you know, the great thing about Community fans, we call them communities, they don't go away. Like, even though the show went away, they still are with us every day. Every day I get a tweet about Shirley. Every day I'm out in the world and someone says, "That's nice." So it's like it's become a part of my life. And those young people that watched me on Drake and Josh and Community are now watching me, hopefully, on Act Your Age, which is another great opportunity for me to show another side of my foolishness. And so it's been great. Like the progression from one show to the next. I just love that the fans just follow me wherever I go, which is a blessing.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Act Your Age. It was it premiered earlier this month on Bounce TV. What is the show about? What is your role on that show?
Well, the show is kind of Whoopi Goldberg calls it the Golden Brown Girls. So it's women of a certain age who are coming together to take care of each other and live together and navigate life as friends. And it's me and Kim Whitley and Tisha Campbell. And we have two young actors, Nathan Robinson, who plays Kim's son, and Mariah Robinson, Nathan Anderson, excuse me, who plays Kim's son, and Mariah Robinson, who plays my daughter. And we are, the five of us are having a great time just acting foolish and learning lessons. And the best thing about Act Your Age is that it's the first time I've gotten to play a lead. And I think it's the same for Kim and Tisha. We are often the wife or the assistant or the boss of someone on a show, but very rarely are we the stars of the show. And we get to be the stars of this one, which has just been a great blessing. And we air every Saturday on Bounce TV. And then you can watch us the next day on the Brown Sugar app.
Yeah. Now, I mean, talk about being a lead, because like, what I like about your career, Yvette, is that you have such a wide resume. You've been on 100 million different TV shows, commercials. I mean, I've always seen it as, you know, put Yvette in, she can do anything. She is dependable. She can always help you out there. So what is it like, that experience versus where you're at now, where you're the lead? Like, is there a certain amount of pressure that comes with it? Is there a certain amount of stability that comes with it? Like, what's that like?
Well, there's definitely stability and there's no pressure because, like you said, I've been kicking around for 20 plus years and I know my way around a set. I know my way around a cast. I feel like I know what I'm doing as an actor. And so now it's like I've finally been given wings where I can fly. So there's no pressure, a lot of stability. If I do feel anything that feels close to pressure, it's just wanting to do a good job for my co-stars and for the people that have followed my career all these years. I wanted to be a part of a show and to create a character in Angela Martin that they can fall in love with and want to see what her adventures are every week. And I feel like we're getting there. Every episode of Act Your Age is just getting better and better and more funny. And Bounce TV and Scripps Network, which are the people that are like the foundation beneath us, have really given us a chance to really fly, which is really great.
Yeah. Now, what can we say about Bounce TV? Because I mean, when I've watched Bounce TV, I love just the variety of entertaining African American content that's displayed there. You know, from your experience working with Bounce TV, like how do they contribute positively to African American entertainment?
Well, they believe in us. The president of the network, Cheryl Harrison, is just beyond. And everyone that we've encountered from Bounce just wants us to win. We did a press tour where we did a screening in LA. Then they flew us to New York, gave us another screening, and then had us booked on the Today Show and The View. Like, they are pushing this show. They want this show to win. They want this good, positive entertainment to be in everyone's homes. And the great thing about Bounce is that it's already in your homes because it's an over-the-air network. So it's we have something on bouncetv.com/findus. You can figure out where Bounce airs where you are. And then if you can't find the place or the streaming place to find it, you can always get an antenna and get it through the air because it's free. So it's just been a great experience with them. And I want people to tune in to watch Act Your Age every Saturday at 8, but also stay on Bounce and see all the other great entertainment. They have movies. They have a lot of other great shows. It's just a great family to be with.
I love that. I mean, was there anything on Bounce TV besides Act Your Age that you found very entertaining?
Johnson is really funny. Just saying. Yep. You might want to pop on over and take a look.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm getting the Yvette Nicole Browning recommendation for Johnson. All right. I got to put that on my watch list. I like Well, Yvette Nicole Brown, I mean, you make my dream come true. I mean, I've been following your career for like the past 20 or so years. So when I found out that you were able to be on this show, it just warmed my heart because as someone who used to, you know, do acting professionally for a brief period of time, and also, you know, as an African American, it just, you know, seeing people like you and the success that you've attained, it's just very inspirational to me. So I really, really, really thank you for the time that you brought here today.
Well, John, it means the world to me that you took time to talk to me. And, you know, black person to black person, I'm happy to be here with you.
Yay! I love it. All right, Bounce TV, Act Your Age. Watch it. Yvette Nicole Brown. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Anything Show with John Francois on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Join us on YouTube, facebook.com/The Anything Show, and Instagram and TikTok @AnythingShowFrancois.